Welcome to Life Study of the Bible with Witness Lee, a program provided by Living Stream Ministry and featuring the ministry of Watchman Nee and Witness Lee. Witness Lee, a servant of the Lord for over 7 decades on 5 continents, culminated his ministry with a 21-year, book-by-book exposition of the entire Bible, which he called a life study. And we're delighted to bring you short portions of this spoken ministry on today's broadcast. Now, let's join today's life study.
The book of Judges is one of the most difficult in the Bible. It's difficult because it records the history of Israel during one of its most miserable periods. Israel had forsaken God as her king, as her husband, and every man had gone away doing what was right in his own eyes. The account of the losses in their battles against their enemies and of the deplorable degradation of the people of God is quite depressing. But following Judges comes one of the sweetest and most lovely books in the Bible, the short book of Ruth. People have always loved this story through the ages, but just as the deplorable account in Judges has an intrinsic message to us as God's people today, so does the book of Ruth. For in this book, we see in type the incarnation of the redeeming Christ and a sinner choosing to join herself to her Redeemer and to his people, resulting in her receiving the full inheritance of God's people and eventually becoming an important person in the accomplishment of God's purpose. Francis Ball is here as we have our first program on the book of Ruth. Wonderful book, isn't it, Francis?
What a lovely book. Oh, I really am impressed with this book. But also, it contains something of a warning,
yeah,
particularly to those who may be aware of God's eternal purpose. But we'll hear more about that as we get into the story.
Francis, of this story, for those who aren't familiar with it, Israelite from the tribe of Judah, a blessed position in the in the good land. Judah had a choice portion, and yet there was a famine that was coming upon the land, so he packed up his family and his possessions and heads off to what he thinks are going to be greener pastures, but it turns out not to be that way for him. An interesting contrast between Ruth and Judges. Judges began quite marvelously. We had a victory by Judah and Caleb at the beginning of the book, but then everything goes downhill from there as Israel forsakes Jehovah. Ruth starts out in a kind of a low place, the story of this man, Elimelech, who has left the good land, left the rest, and goes off to a place that's despised, Moab. He dies and his 2 sons die, but his wife remains, Naomi. And these 2 daughters-in-law, the 2 that had married the sons, 2 from among the tribe of Moab, and eventually one of them, Ruth, chooses to go with Naomi as Naomi decides to go back to the good land, back to her land of inheritance. And Ruth, this Moabitess, loves Naomi and decides, makes a conscious choice, a decision to join herself to one of God's elect, and in thereby makes a way that she becomes one of God's elect. And this story is a marvelous picture of redemption. We'll see Christ typified here in this tender love story that evolves. But beyond the love story, we want to see the real intrinsic story, and that is that we can recover from whatever condition we've fallen into by making a strong choice to join ourselves to God, to the redeeming God, and to his people. And that's really important, isn't it?
That's exactly the story here, and it really is summed up. If you have a recovery version, you'll see the headings in this chapter that Elimelech's swerving away and Naomi's returning.
Yes.
And then eventually, as Chris has just pointed out, Ruth's choosing.
Right.
Those 3 things really sum up this message we'll hear today.
Well, I think to set the stage now, we've told the story somewhat, but a verse that I want to quote from the New Testament, because the point here is that this person, Ruth, who has the origin, the beginning, in a very poor place, Moab, a tribe that came out of this incestuous beginning, but turns out to be quite marvelous. And listen, in chapter 1 of Matthew, the genealogy of Christ, verse 5, as we've now jumped down into the genealogy a bit, and Solomon begot Boaz of Rahab. We remember the story of Rahab when we were in Joshua, another woman with a very poor beginning, had been a harlot, but chose to join herself to God's people. Now we see another woman, Ruth, emerge, and Boaz begot Obed of Ruth. And Obed begot Jesse, and Jesse begot David the king. And ultimately, as we'll see in chapter 1, verse 16, out of this line of David, which comes through Ruth, Christ emerges.
Marvelous.
Isn't that something?
Marvelous.
Well, let's join Witness Lee for our first portion from the life study of Ruth today.
We get on Ruth.
Amen.
Hallelujah for Ruth. Ruth is an appendix to the book of Judges, contemporary with the first half of Judges. Judges is a book of Israel's miserable history. Ruth is the record of a couple's excellent story, bright and aromatic. The main rule in the story is like a lily growing out of a bramble and a bright star in dark night. The Book of Ruth is also an important part of the genealogy of Christ. Matthew chapter 1 verse 5 refers to this matter strongly. This book is a record, particularly concerning the incarnation of Christ.
Amen.
Dear saints, in the whole universe, which thing could be bigger than incarnation of Christ? The very God, eternal, infinite, the Creator, Almighty, He was there, silent. No one knew what God did. Even the angels didn't know. Abraham, Isaac, Moses, David, Isaiah, Malachi, no one knew. All of a sudden, God came out of eternity and entered into time 2,000 years ago. Not only so, He came out of eternity, which also His divinity, in order to enter into humanity, to make Himself the divine, one with man, the human, to become a God-man. This is the biggest thing in the whole universe. But such a short book, only of 4 chapters, is particularly related to this incarnation.
Francis, we really have to see in this book, I think, again, how critical it is to see the types and what's typified by especially these characters, these important persons here. Ruth, we just saw, coming from her background, typifies us, the sinners,
mm-hmm.
who, by our choosing the way that God has provided, find a way into the inheritance. But really, this book is marvelous in the way it typifies the redeeming Christ, the incarnation of Christ, isn't it?
This book is really an eye-opener, I would say, to have been written in kind of the same time as the book of Judges was written. To have such a story woven into that whole history is really amazing. That condition is what drew Elimelech away. But at the same time, this lovely story takes place and really shows us, as you mentioned, that we are acceptable to God if we are joined to His people according to Him. And this requires a redeemer. And I think we'll see as we get into this how Ruth got related to a Redeemer so that she could be brought in to be with God's people. This is really a picture of God's chosen people, the Jews,
right,
and the Gentiles, who are illustrated here by the Moabites. The Moabites were a rejected people because of the sinful past.
Right.
But this shows us that God receives all who will come to Him to be identified as His people. And I think this is such a beautiful, wonderful story and so comforting that we can choose to go with God's people, like Ruth did. She told Naomi, I will go where you go. Your people will be my people. Your God will be my God. She had been in a place of idol worship.
right,
and the sinfulness. But now she chose to go with Naomi, who was returning back to God's people into the place of rest, and that is the good land, so that she chose to take that stand with her. And this really is a marvelous picture. I think more of this will come out in the other two sections we have.
And, of course, as a result of her choosing, eventually Christ is brought forth, this marvelous, infinite, eternal, almighty Creator steps out of eternity into time, becoming flesh. You know, in John 1:14, the Word became flesh and tabernacled among us. And this Redeemer is typified by this marvelous story that's presented in Ruth, and eventually the relationship that emerges between she and this man Boaz that we'll find out about later on in this life study. Mm-hmm. Let's go back to Witness Lee. He's going to touch the content and the central focus of this book in this next section.
Now, the content is that a Moabitess, Ruth, was brought into the holy elect of God. Who were the Moabites? They were the descendant of Lot, who committed a shameful incest with his daughters. So God, in Deuteronomy 23, ordained no Moab would be allowed to get into the assembly, the whole congregation of God. But Ruth was brought into this holy elect and became one important ancestor of Christ through her marriage with Boaz, the great-grandfather of King David, which became a factor that ushered in the incarnation of Christ. Such a Moabitess, actually a Moabite widow, she became an important ancestor to bring Christ into humanity. This was the ushering in of the marvelous incarnation, God being one with man. Now, the central thought is that a Gentile, even a Moabitess, could be joined to God's holy elect, to partake of the holy inheritance through her union with a holy elect who redeemed her. This is a complete prefigure of the Gentile sinners being brought with Israel, God's elect, into the divine inheritance through the redemption of Christ in their union with Him.
Francis, we talked about this type already, but one thing that really strikes me here, especially after we read that verse in Matthew chapter 1, you know, the Old Testament accounts, I don't know how many thousands of years of human history and how many significant figures throughout those thousands of years, you know, whose lives were seemingly important. And yet in the divine record in the New Testament, in just that short list of names, one of those included is this person, Ruth.
Yeah.
What is this teaching us? What does this show us about the potential for any person, regardless of their sinful condition, if they make the right choices?
This is really a message of hope.
Yeah.
And a real figurative picture of what God does in receiving all who will come to be identified with Him and with His people. That means a Gentile, which is all of us.
Right.
And not only a Gentile, but a Moabitess, that is from a source that is really sinful. And not only a Moabitess, but a widow without any connection that would put her, even though she had been married to one of Elimelech's sons, he died. That relationship did not bring her in touch with God's people in the good land. So there was still that shortage of not having any kind of claim or any kind of right that she could claim to come in to be accounted with God's people. This reminds me, too, Chris, of the account in Ephesians where it says the Gentiles will be fellow heirs.
Yes.
And joint partakers with God's people. So we're brought in to enjoy all that's typified by Israel and being in the good land. We're brought into that kind of experience, into our good land, which is really the all-inclusive Christ. And to be in that position to enjoy Him, even though we are Moabites, even though we are Gentiles without any claim on God's way, yet He brings us into that fellowship if we just choose Him and would take Him and be related to Him in such a way to make us one with Him so that we could be in the good land where He is.
Yeah, choosing Him. And also a striking point here in the story of Ruth is her way of choosing God, joining herself to God's people. Yeah. There's a corporate aspect here of redemption that is quite marvelous as well. Of course, it's Christ and His work uniquely alone that redeems us to God for certain. But there is an aspect of how that is, how that broadens out if we join ourselves to God's people and really join ourselves to those who are seeking God. That redemption becomes, in a sense, somewhat magnified in our daily living, doesn't it?
Yes, because this is a corporate matter. I think we'll see all through the New Testament as we get into it in the future.
Let's go back to Witness Lee, our final segment on this first life study from the book of Ruth.
Elimelech, he was in the good land already, and he got a portion of it. He should remain there. To remain in the good land, God promised and given, is a real rest. But this man became foolish. And he not only left, but served from this wonderful rest. It is not just simply an Israelite to stay, to live in a piece of good land. No, your staying in this piece of land is related to the situation with God in his economy. Elimelech, he served from Bethlehem. My goodness, Bethlehem in Judah. What is this place? This is the place that God born to be a man.
Amen.
Would you serve away from this land? But Elimelech served to her, to Moab. A place of incest, rejected by God. But the wife returned. One served, one returned. Very good. Naomi came back with a very good helper, daughter-in-law, Ruth, to Bethlehem. So they all came back with the same goal. The goal Ruth chose was God and His kingdom for the carrying out of God's economy concerning Christ.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
For such a goal.
Amen.
And for such persons choosing this goal.
Amen.
You have to see, this book is a real book of rest.
Amen.
After Ruth was married by Boaz, and they brought forth a child. At that time, what can rest with the absolute satisfaction Ruth enjoyed? Also, with a full expectation of her descendants. Firstly, the coming generations with David. Then lastly, with Jesus Christ.
Well, Francis, I think you used this way of describing Ruth in the introduction. It's worth repeating, I think, at the closing of the program today. This really is a story of three people, one who swerved, one who returned, and one who chose. And out of that, there's something there that just about describes all of us, isn't there, and a potential for all of us.
I'll say, when you consider God's people in the Old Testament, the Jews, how He chose Israel to be His own people and promised them the good land, brought them all the way through the wilderness into the good land. Elimelech, he was one of those who had come into the good land, and yet because things weren't so pleasant all the time, he chose to leave. And when he left, that really was his finish, because he left the rest that God had promised. But praise the Lord, his wife, Naomi, chose to return. And by her choosing to return, she really returned to the rest that God had promised for his people. And with her came her daughter-in-law, Ruth. Actually, there were two daughters-in-law, but one just kissed her goodbye, and the other one clung to her, would not let her go. She made a strong choice. She would be where she would be, and Naomi's people would be Ruth's people. So she was identifying with God's people in her choice, and she purposely followed Naomi all the way to be in that good land. And when she got there, the Lord did marvelously to bring her in contact, and not only in contact, but in relationship with Boaz, who's a real type of Christ.
Yeah.
When you see this whole picture, Chris, I realize this is a marvelous Old Testament introduction to the Gospels.
It is.
I believe Brother Lee mentions that one time in this message, that this is a choice introduction to the four Gospels in the New Testament, because it's so clearly and marvelously related to the Incarnation, that is, God becoming a man. And we don't just think of little town of Bethlehem, but Bethlehem played a big part
right
in this Incarnation. That was the place. He had left the place of God's intended birth that Elimelech had, and now she was returning, Naomi was returning, and with her now is Ruth, coming to the place which was a choice place on the earth. Actually, Bethlehem, I would say to Christ, was more important than heaven.
Yeah.
The Lord was in heaven already, but to become a man, to be born, bringing divinity into humanity, bringing God into man, to produce a real God-man, both divine and human, was born in Bethlehem. You know, that's a marvelous picture.
It really is.
Of our spirit. When we received the Lord Jesus Christ, God himself came into our Bethlehem. And sometimes I just turn to my spirit and I say, when I'm not exercised that much, I say, oh, little town of Bethlehem, how still I see you lie. It needs to rise up. We need to realize where we are.
Right.
We're in Bethlehem, where the Lord was made man. Now this man is a spirit, and he's now in our spirit. So we're in a choice place.
We really are.
We shouldn't swerve from it. If we have, we should return. And if we haven't made any choice, we should make the choice in a very decisive way to come all the way to be identified with God's people. Actually, we find in the New Testament that people is the body of Christ.
Francis, I think it's a good point to end on today, that Ruth was able to, by her choice, take advantage of what God had provided. And in her case, of course, it was Naomi. But this really is the gospel. This really is the gospel. And if any are listening that are somewhat teetering, have maybe heard the presentation of the gospel before, perhaps this word would be one that the Lord would use to really bring them to that point of making the conscious choice,
mm-hmm.
joining themselves to the man, this unique man from Bethlehem. Ruth is about to meet a man from Bethlehem that will give her a further way into this inheritance and to become such a one that is so useful for God's purpose.
Amen.
But we can all choose this one today and have this experience of the birth in Bethlehem taking place within each of us in our spirit. Thank you for that analogy and always your fellowship. I just enjoy the chance to enjoy the ministry together with you as we record these programs.
And I, you.
For Francis Ball, I'm Chris Wilde. Thank you very much for listening today.